Yesterday, as we were performing the yoga dharma of chanting the holy names in a public place in this sacred abode of the Supreme Lord, Sri Rangam, I noticed one house we were going past had written in English that Sri Parashara Bhatta, something Alayam or something like this. So I went there and spoke with the people there who are descendants coming down almost 1,000 years from Parashara Bhatta, who I have some connection with, because I'm quoting him and saying his name so many times in my talks on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. He's the Sri Vaishnava commentator on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. So I felt very happy and blessed to meet his descendants, who told me he's the Purohit of Ranganatha Swami. That just like a king, he has his own priest, Brahmin, who'll come in first thing in the morning, will tell him which day it is according to Tithi and Nakshatra and different times of day which are auspicious and innocent, and so many things. He has his own priest, he has his own doctor, everything. So it's going on generation after generation. Name 536 in Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, according to the numbering system given by Sri Parashara Bhatta, is because some of the names can be broken up in different ways. So all the commentators come out at 1,000, but in different ways. So this name is Kritagya. Kritagya. I'm not sure about Tamil, but in most Indian languages that's a commonly used word up to the present time. It means Kritagyata, means gratefulness. Yeah, Kritagya means great. Krita means action that has been completed. And gya is knower of. So one who knows an action that's been done. Which in modern Indian languages is often, it's generally as grateful. This name appeared previously as name 83. That's 450 names approximately previously. And one feature of the commentary of Sri Parashara Bhatta, as in many of the commentators, not all of them, but they explain the name, if it appears two or three times, one of the names appears four times, then they'll explain it in relation to the other names in that particular shlokam or series of shlokams. So it'll be explained in a different way. So the first meaning given here is, I may not go into the point of gratefulness because I discussed that previously. That's the first explanation given. He who remembers the good deed done. Oh, and then it becomes very nice name. That especially remembering the Aho Bhaki, the Krishna's gratefulness, this putana. What a most horrible thing to do. But Krishna remembered, oh, she had some nice intention also, even in a previous life. So Krishna takes the good side. The gratefulness, he remembers the good deed done, even amid, even someone is grossly sinful, nasty. Putana was the incarnation of nastiness. How cruel and horrible. But Krishna remembered in her previous life she had some good inclination toward me. Even that was on the material platform, because she thought this Vamana is a very nice boy. Oh, I'd like to suckle him at my breast. He's a very beautiful looking boy. So it's a material sentiment, because when she saw that Vamana took everything away from Bali Maharaj, then she became full of putana bhav, different mentality. But Krishna remembered the good thing done. So I won't go into that more now, although it's a very sweet gunanubhavam, very sweet to remember this quality. Other names, krita is done. It's been done. It's an action performed. So the commentators take this to mean the creation of the material universe. It's been created. So he knows. He knows everything about his creation, directly and indirectly. He knows through his representatives. Just like Srila Prabhupada was asked once, well, how do you know how everything's going on in ISKCON? He says, I have my representatives, temple presidents, they tell me. He knows everything that he needs to know. But Krishna knows everything, which is mind-boggling. If we think about even one atom, even the scientists can't explain one atom. They can't even explain what it is, let alone how it is, and how it's interacting with other atoms, and so on and so on, and the whole universe is going on, and every living being is a complex conglomerate of innumerable desires and experiences. And Krishna is fulfilling the desires of everyone. Please don't lean on that. It looks like just, I don't know. I'm also a conglomerate of various eccentricities, so it makes me feel like someone's not interested. Krishna, he fulfills the desires of everyone. And how to do that with everyone competing with everyone else? And it's just, we can hardly even begin to think of what it means to know everything in the universe. But Krishna does, and that's why he's the Supreme Personality of God. That's one reason. From Vishnu Sahasranama, we can get at least 1,000 reasons why we can understand he is the Supreme Personality. We can understand means according to our extremely limited capacity. So that is our function, to perform kirtan, to chant his names, to glorify his qualities. And at the same time understand we can only do so by his mercy, and we really can't understand very much about him at all. But nevertheless, that quality, vatsalya, that quality of we know, we have full trust that he is our well-wisher. He is our greatest friend, and he's competent to protect us also. The parents, they may be, hopefully should be, caring for their children, but they can't protect them ultimately. What is that verse from Prahlad's prayers? Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nrsingha. The parents, they think they're protecting the children, but they can't. If they can't protect them from chicken pox, if it comes, what can the parents do? They can try and help the child, but you can't stop him getting it. And maybe there's a vaccine or something. For smallpox, there's a vaccine. If there's earthquake or bombs, what will the parents do to protect? Even holding the child in the hand, cruel death may take the child away. But Krishna is such a protector that we'll know that he is competent to protect us. He's our eternal well-wish. We have eternal relationship with Krishna. So he knows everything about his creation and everyone and everything in it. And he's so kind that he personally cares for every living being within the creation, and especially he cares for his devotees. Getting back to Parashara Bhatta's explanation of this name, I said that he explains each name in the context, and he often explains names particularly in relation to various avatars of the Lord. So the first, this name, Kritagya, comes in the verse, which goes, Maharshi Kapilacharya Kritagya. So Kapilacharya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared as the son of Devahuti. And Parashara Bhatta explains that this name, Kritagya, in this context, one of the meanings is that he is grateful, or he remembers the good deeds done, because Kapila, sitting at Ganga Sagar up to the present day, where the Ganga meets the Sagar, where the Ganga meets the sea, and appears to flow into the sea, although according to Shastric definitions, she actually goes down to the next layer of the universe and becomes known as Bhogavati down there. So the sons of the Maharaj Sagar, they were attempting to bring back the horse for the sacrifice, and they presumed that Kapila had stolen that horse. And here, this is supposed to be a translation of the Parashara Bhatta's commentary, that he reduced them to ashes. But the Bhagavatam describes, you see, there may be differences even in the explanations, even given in Shastra, what to speak of different commentators, that Kapila Dev himself is the very form of all goodness, that anger would not manifest in him. So it was the sinfulness of the sons of Saga that burned them, not Kapila. But later on, Anshuman, the grandson of Saga, came before Kapila and bowed down with respect and pleaded on behalf of his ancestors. So then Kapila, he took cognizance of this good act. He didn't maintain a grudge, because you are the descendant of those who insulted me. He didn't maintain a grudge. He saw, he was cognizant of the good deed done. So that's Parashabhata's explanation. Shankaracharya, who's also a commentator on Vishnu Sahasranama, he here interprets as the Kritam, referring to the universe, and so he gives the meaning that he who knows the universe, and Radha Krishna Shastri, who is a Vaishnava commentator, he says that Bhagavan is both the creator and the created. So in one sense, this material cosmos is non-different from the Lord, in one sense. In one sense it's different. Idang hi vishvam Bhagavan iveta. In one sense it's different. But in another sense it is non-different from Him. Sarvam kalvidang brahma. Everything is that one entity. So it's created by Him, so in the sense that the created is a manifestation of the Creator. Srila Prabhupada once, in explaining this understanding, said of how Bhagavan is non-different from His creation, he said, "I am ISKCON." That I have created this organization, I am overseeing it, everything within it is connected to me. So what is the wrong there? One of Srila Prabhupada's sayings. What is the wrong there? If I say, I am ISKCON. So in the same way, Bhagavan is non-different from His creation. So in that sense, He is both the creation and the created, although still the distinction is there. There's the creation and the knower of the creation. So all these seemingly difficult points to understand are all resolved in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift of achinta bheda bheda tattva. Understand. Sometimes in Shastra we'll read that the material cosmos is different from Bhagavan. Sometimes we'll read it's the same. What's true? Both are true. He knows He knows everything there is to be known about it. He knows why it was created, when it was created, how it was created, where it is created, what it was created for, and for how long it will exist, and the actions of every living being within it. That's a summary of everything that is to be known. And we can't know anything fully about anything. Although we can do according to our capacity by His mercy. Yomameva sammudho janati purushottamam sasarvavid bhajati mam sarvabhavena bhavata. Krishna says, one who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting, he knows everything. And therefore he engages in my pure devotional service. He knows everything. What does that mean, he knows everything? He knows, well, I'm supposed to worship Krishna. And therefore he does it. That's all he needs to know. We don't need to know how the sunlight reacts with the chlorophyll in the plants and the grass, and then the cow eats the grass and it's transformed in the stomach. But we don't need to know that. You just feed the cow the grass, and then you milk the cow and offer it to Krishna. You don't need to know all this chlorophyll and all this kind of thing. Is there a word for chlorophyll in Sanskrit? Probably in the new Sanskrit dictionaries they have. But we don't need to know. Such detailed knowledge is not required. It may be some Vedic biologist somewhere back in the... Which yuga would that be? In Satya Yuga, they wouldn't bother with such things. They're more intelligent. They just worship Krishna. Maybe somewhere, sometime. But what do you need to know? Krishna knows. He's doing it already. You don't need to know all these. So many things. Don't waste our time studying so many useless things. Just understand who is Krishna. We can't even understand even the tiniest thing fully. Then how are we going to understand Krishna, who is beyond everything in this material world, who's far, far greater than we can even begin to imagine, by His mercy, that's all. Simply by His mercy. And how much do we have to understand? He is the creator, maintainer, destroyer. He is the control, the enjoyer of everything, the maintainer and master of all the universes. He's the best friend of everyone. All these things. What do we need to know about Krishna as He describes Himself in Bhagavad Gita? And then more and more we can hear from Srimad Bhagavatam and simply marvel at how great is Krishna, how merciful is Krishna, how kind is Krishna. And we should know also that we are simply meant to serve Krishna. So some more points on Kritagya. Let's have a little look. Been taking from different sources. Balade Vidyabhushan, yeah. He gives us a meaning similar to that which is given by Purusha Bhatta. He links this name with Kapilacharya, Maharshi Kapilacharya, that he was fully aware of the pious deeds performed by Maharaj Bhagiratha. So that's very simple. And according to Baladev Vidyabhushan, the names which are connected with Kapiladev finish with this name, Kritagya, and we go on to the next name, Medinipati. Medini. Do you know what Medini means in Hindi? Medini. They're saying? No, that would be Medha. Medha, Medha. This is M-E-D, no H. Any devotees here from Jharkhand? Dalton Ganj? Anyone came? Yeah. So before the British rechristened it, that place was called Medini Naga, is it? Medini something. Medinipuram. Oh, Medinipur is in Bengal. It's a great traditional center of Vaishnavism by the grace of Shyamananda Prabhu and Rasikananda. Now it's a great center of Maoism, Kali Yuga. So Medini means the earth. It's a very beautiful sounding name. To me it sounds very beautiful. What do you think? Medini sounds like a very sweet name. And Pati means the lord of, so the lord, the master, the husband of the earth. Medini sounds very sweet, but the derivation of it is not very sweet. Do you happen to know? Do you know what this is? How Medini can Medha means intelligence, and Meda means who's studying Sankhya Darshan, Srimad Bhagavatam. Medha means fat in the body. When Krishna killed Madhu and Kaitav, two demons, their bodily fat spread out all over the universe and it eventually coagulated into a ball which we call the earth. That's one explanation. Another is that it covered the earth. There are different explanations in different Puranas. So that's where we get Medini. There are so many names for the earth. Prithivi means who's accepted as the daughter of Prithu. Dharani, or she who holds everything. Dharitri, same, who holds everything. Sorry, Bhumi is a very common name. So, this Medinipati, there are already several names like that already come in the Vishnu Sahasranama. Bhugarbha means the maintainer of the earth. Mahibharata means the maintainer of the earth. Dharani Dhara, who holds the earth or maintains the earth. These names have already come. And to come. Ashoka. Well, that doesn't. What's that got to do with the earth? Well, in Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentary, he says that he, Vishnu, removes the earth's grief. So he relates the name Ashoka, which is a general meaning of no lamentation, but he takes it to mean removes the lamentation specifically of the earth. And we know how when the earth is overburdened by demons, then Vishnu appears to remove the burden of the earth, so he takes away the lamentation of the earth. Parameshti is also interpreted to mean who removes the earth's burden. And Sthavara, all these names, they don't seem to be particularly directly connected with the earth, but the acharyas, they explained it in this way, that Sthavara means fixed. So he puts her back in her position. That's Varaha Dev after she falls down from her position. And he returns her to her stable condition of mind, peaceful condition of mind, by removing all the demons. Of course, the earth is mentioned in so many places. She's Parikshit Maharaj in Bhagavatam is compared to Titikshur Vasudhaivaso. He will be tolerant like the earth. So the earth, great quality of tolerance. She tolerates being misused, being drilled. She tolerates sinful people. She's most tolerant. Prithu Maharaj is described Artanam Kshitti Vrittiman. He relieves the distress of his citizens, just like the earth. The earth is a very nature to relieve those who are distressed. So I'm talking quite a lot here about the earth, but remembering in relationship to she who is our mother, Mother Earth, and she is the wife of Vishnu, particularly when she was lifted up from the nether regions by Varahadev, then something similar to Yayati and Devayani. He lifted her up from the well, and then she, oh, so nice, you saved me. And then she wanted to be his wife. So Varaha lifts up the earth from the nether region. She's his eternal wife. Of course, the earth is it's a planet which undergoes creation and destruction. But the original principle of the earth, Bhushakti, Satya Bhama, she's the eternal wife of the Lord. We, in all Sri Vaishnava temples, we find that Bhudevi is there with the Lord. So he's her eternal husband. She's the earth planet as manifested in each universe. She is the goddess of that. She's an eternal consort of the Lord. So we can understand how important this earth is. It's not only in Vedic culture, but in cultures throughout the world. We're talking here about culture, and that's which got nothing to do with the Western materialistic society, or even the Christian world. They don't see the earth. They don't see the earth as sacred. They take the earth as a place for exploitation. They got off on the wrong basis. But in actual cultures everywhere throughout the world, even without understanding that there is Vishnu and there is the Supreme Lord, they can understand the earth is sacred. Ishavasya midam sarva. We can take what we need to take. We shouldn't take any more. Now in this modern machine technological culture, we've become estranged from our mother, the earth. People don't live on the earth, they live on the concrete. The little bits of earth we see here and there. We don't see how the earth gives us food, how she nourishes us. We don't see how the cloth, it's her gift. How the residence, what are the necessities for humans, the roti, kapra, makan, food, clothing and shelter. It all comes by the grace of Mother Earth. We don't see that in modern life. The technological society breeds atheism by its very nature. And man thinks that we are doing, by our power, we have harnessed the power of nature. Everywhere, machines, noise. Of course, in nature there's noise also, but not this harsh. Mostly the sounds of machines, they're all harsh, isn't it? We don't find any sweet. It may be the machine is specifically made to make a sweet sound, but the sound of buses braking, braking, putting on their brake, the horn of the bus where I'm staying. It's just near. Well, it's on the main bus route, so every few minutes, wah, wah, some. It's not the worst of sounds, but it's certainly not pleasing. Of course, not every sound in nature is pleasing also. The croaking of frogs is not particularly pleasing, or the cawing of crows, it's not particularly pleasing. But these are creatures in the deepest mode of ignorance. And then there's the kokil, sings very sweetly. So there are different manifestations of different living beings, all maintained by the earth. We're all symbiotic. Mukunda Prabhu used that word yesterday. I wonder if the translator could get that. How would you say that in Hindi? There must be some complex Sanskrit word you could use. I don't know if they have it in Tamil. Symbiotic means it's everything's working together in unison and everything needs everything else. We need the earth. We are dependent upon the earth. We think we're dependent upon our paycheck or we're dependent upon machines. No, we're dependent upon the earth. And therefore, living on the earth and cultivating Krishna consciousness, it's a very good combination because we can see directly how Krishna, through Mother Earth, nourishes us physically and how fragile we are because Mother Nature, she, Durga, she maintains like a mother, but she can destroy us at any second also. The mighty power of nature, floods, tsunamis, hurricanes, earthquakes, in a moment, without any warning, earthquake, finished. Or it may be a drawn out process of drought. We're dependent on Mother Earth. And she's dependent on Krishna. So we're supposed to take from Mother Earth and offer what she offers to us, we're supposed to offer to Krishna. That is the process of yajna, by which Krishna becomes pleased. And then he showers through Mother Earth so many everything that we need. So this, we don't do that nowadays. And nowadays, we can't, for so many reasons, we can't perform yajna in the traditional method properly. To get pure brahmanas who are following the proper way of life, very difficult. This is a city where there are so many brahmanas and they're still doing yajnas, but it's not possible to. Very difficult, we'll say, to do it properly according to the traditional system. It should be in a pure place. Of course, this is a pure place. But here in Sri Rangam, there's also sinful activities are going on. There's eggs are being sold. Chickens are running around here and there. That means people are eating there. There are members of the minority communities who are non-vegetarian by conviction. They think it's their religion to be non-vegetarian. So and there's lying, there's cheating. So one in a yajna, one has to perform it in a pure place. The whole country, this whole land of India is polluted in so many ways, apart from the air pollution and the water pollution, if there's any water to be polluted. Here in Tamil Nadu, they'd be grateful to have water pollution. If there's no water to be polluted. But the killing of cows is going on. It's most horrendous. How Mahatma Gandhi got the Indian people who weren't much interested in politics. That's for Kshatriyas. That's not for everyone. That's for the Kshatriyas. He got them interested in that this is a religious, spiritual cause to have independence from the British. So, and naturally everyone thought that, well, when an Indian gets independence, the first thing we're going to do is stop cow slaughter. Mahatma Gandhi said, no. Because the Christians and the Muslims, it's their religion. We have to facilitate them. In India, when the British were here, there are a few slaughterhouses here. And now, by the Indian government itself, independent India has made so many slaughterhouses everywhere. Most of them illegal, but who cares? Money is there. So, Mother Earth is so pained to see this. So that point I was making, yajna, yajna varaha. There's Medinipati is especially Varaha Dev, refers to Varaha Dev. He's known as Yajna Varaha. We can't perform that kind of yajna very properly. We can do Sankirtan Yajna. This is required for this age. Please Mother Earth and please her husband by performing Sankirtan Yajna. This horrible condition of the world, how the earth is suffering in so many ways. We should also suffer. We should also feel pain. So many cows and practically unlimited chickens every day being killed, and for them being killed is maybe a mercy for them because they're tortured throughout their life. How the human society has become so cruel, it's unimaginable. It's this whole machine society, because we lose our link with Mother Earth, and then we just think in terms of profit. Chickens, they're for sale, some commodity for us to buy and sell. Then we get more protein, and then we can become more strong. So, all horrible ideas, as we lost our link with Mother Nature, and with our. Otherwise, in India, people they wouldn't want to do any harm to others, at least the more enlightened people. First of all, when they wanted to have this green revolution to increase the crop output, so they had to put pesticides. They didn't want to put pesticides. No, we can't put pesticides. That would kill the creatures. Now, no one thinks. They put so much pesticides that all the farmers are getting cancer. And everyone else is also. Abortion. It's absolutely unthinkable. It's just... How could you do? What a horrible thing to do. What a sinful thing to do. People were happy to have children. Now, normal. How the culture has changed. So the important part of this Krishna conscious movement is to bring the people of the world, of course, to Krishna consciousness, but that also includes ecological consciousness. That's a big thing in the Western world, this idea of ecology. But their understanding is ecology means understanding the harmony of nature and trying to sustain that, not go against it, as pretty much everything in modern life works against the harmony of nature. But their ecological initiatives are all incomplete because they don't recognize that we are on this earth not as enjoyers, but we are here, placed here by Krishna, meant to utilize our stay on this earth for serving Krishna, understanding that he is the husband of the earth. So we should worship the earth. That is by worshipping Lakshmi, Narayana, Radha, Krishna. That is in, by worshipping Radha, Krishna, worship of the earth is also included. But not exploit. Take what we need. Be careful. Don't upset the ecological balance. Why? Because the earth is very dear to Krishna. We have no right to mistreat the earth. Then, so I'd said that Baladev Vidyabhushan says that Varaha, names of Varaha begin here. So we have in the upcoming verse, Mahashringa, who has a great horn, that's the name of Varaha. He carries the earth on his tusk. That's just upcoming in this verse. In the next verse we have the name Govinda, which means he who gives pleasure to the earth. The earth is also called Go. Then the verse after that, we have the name Vriksha, which means tree, but the acharyas give the one meaning of that. He accepts Bhumi as his wife. Pushkaraksha, he has lotus eyes. One of the acharyas says he enters the Garbhodak, the water at the bottom of the universe to save the earth. Anila, he gives the earth, Krishna gives the earth to Ugrasena after killing Kamsa. And I don't know how Baladev Vidyabhushan takes these meanings, but how he derives them from the Sanskrit. So there are many names in Vishnu Sahasranam which connect or which demonstrate the earth in relationship to Krishna, how he is the Lord or the protector of the earth, how the earth is his wife. She's very dear to him. Sacred, sacred earth. The earth is sacred. The oceans are sacred. All the sacred rivers, who are his wives, they flow into the ocean. The ocean is the abode of Vishnu. The mountains, especially in this Bharatavarsha, the sacred mountains, the Himalayas, are the abode of Nara Narayan Rishi. Vindhya is the abode of Vindhyavasini, Durga Devi. She resides there. So, this consciousness of the earth as sacred, especially this land of India, every inch of this land has been stepped on by either the Supreme Lord or his great devotees. Let's see what else. Oh, Maidni is also a gopi name, so it's also a name for Krishna. Practically all the common names that we find in girls' names, that common girls' names, you'll find them all gopi. And there are billions of gopis, so they're all gopi names. Yeah, so the Vedic culture, that's a very strong sense of the earth as our kind mother who gives us everything. Sarva Kama Dukha Mahi. Mahi is another name of the earth. Very strong consciousness of the earth as our mother, and the father is Vishnu. So we should also cultivate that and be aware of that. That's an important part of Srila Prabhupada's mission, the farm mission. Get out of these horrible cities. Live on the earth. And worship Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. I've finished that. Oh, that's another important point, yeah. Everything on the earth belongs to him, not to us. We may purchase some land, there's some minerals there, so we can make a mine and dig them out. It doesn't belong to us. Srila Prabhupada was once introduced to a gentleman, this is in Mayapur, I believe, gentleman from Calcutta. So Srila Prabhupada asked him, so, what do you do? What's your business? He's saying, well, I do glass. My business is glass. And then Srila Prabhupada said, so you're a big thief. I thought, wow. How am I a thief? And Prabhupada said, well, where does the glass come from? Well, it's made from quartz. And where does the quartz come from? Well, that comes from the earth, from sand. So you're taking it and claiming it's yours and making a profit. You're a big thief. Everyone's a thief. If we don't offer back to Krishna. How many of us would do that if we're introduced to some big businessman who's favorable and first thing you tell him, you're a big thief? Sorry? Better tell him that when you're older. What if he's older than you and he's going to die before you? Most likely. Tell him anyway. Yeah. Recently in Mayapur, I was introduced to someone called Gautam. And I told him, oh, you're a big cheater. Because in Bhaktivinoda's song, that Keshava Tua Jagat Bichitra, he gives the names of Karnat, Patanjali, Gautam, Eshab Banchak. These are all cheaters. He was wondering what's going on. You're a big cheater. Hare Krishna, you want to say something? Uh-huh. And of course the earth is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. He is the fragrance of the earth. What is that? Punyo gandha prithivyamcha. Then gama vishyacha bhutani. He enters. He holds up the earth. So yeah, it's all Krishna's energy. Everything belongs to Krishna. Medini Pati. Hare Krishna. Here in Sri Rangam, this Vishnu Sahasranam that must have been recited literally millions of times. There'll be people who are personally reciting it here daily, and previously probably all the Brahmins recited it daily, because that's one thing that Brahmins used to do. We find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Srivast Thakur and said, recite Vishnu Sahasranam. He's a Brahmin, he's expected to know it. It's the standard practice. Then they put on the Lakshmi Subramaniam cassette, and then they forgot that also. Instead of chanting, they had Lakshmi Subramaniam's cassette. And that's so we can try to revive all these things. At our farm in Gujarat, some of the boys, just like here in Salem, they learn the Tirupavai. So there in Nandagram, some of our boys, they memorize the Vishnu Sahasranama. It's not essential. You can chant Hare Krishna there, all the Vishnu, all the names are there, all included in the name of Krishna. But by considering the qualities of the Supreme Lord as derived or understood from Vishnu Sahasranam. And we can better appreciate him. And then we can, with more faith, and dedication, and love, chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Okay, that's the end of this lecture.